All right, let's get started. If you have your Bibles, we're reading from Isaiah 55 this morning. It's Isaiah 55. You guys alive and awake? Yes? Woo! Isaiah 55, and we'll have it up on the screen for you if you don't have your Bible with you. It's the whole thing, too. So, 13 verses, but I believe you can handle it. You ready? It says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Indeed, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." A few weeks ago, I did a message on recognizing that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I think sometimes what ends up happening is we kind of go through this battle with ourselves. I called the message an unwelcome visitor. And sometimes what ends up happening is there are things in life that you'll go through, situations that will occur in your life that will trigger the worst version of yourself that ends up coming back to life when the old you needs to stay dead and in the grave. You were crucified with Christ. Your old man's been crucified with Jesus, and you are a new creation now in Jesus' name. But the choice is yours. You know, you can choose to identify with who you once were and your old patterns of living and being conformed to those patterns of the world, or you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind and actually take hold of the new creation that you are in Christ Jesus. The choice is yours. Usually no one likes the old you, though, just so you know, okay? And what we long to see is the new creation you that God has created. And that's why we go through this world and all the difficulties and circumstances that we go through, it's all to actually draw out the Christ identity that's within you. You look at the scriptures and you look at Paul, and he's always encouraging people, like, listen, put off the old self, put on the new self created after the likeness of God. And you know what? There are all these amazing promises, all these words that are spoken over you and spoken over me and for our future. And God has good plans to you for your life, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror because he loves you. And you can read this over and over and over again. And it's amazing to me that I can read through this and yet not believe it. Like, the Bible says that there's nothing, I just read in Isaiah 55, there's nothing that God says or that God utters that returns to him empty. It always, his word goes out, it always accomplishes that which is purposed for. And even though that is the reality of life, that what God says will happen, what he's declared over you, it will come to be, I have a hard time believing that sometimes. Like, my old self does not want me to believe in the promises of God. And it's amazing, like, we have all these rich promises and these beautiful promises that are in God's word, but sometimes what my old self likes to do, when the worst version of myself likes to raise his ugly head out of the grave, what ends up happening is that because of some of the experiences that we go through in life that really trigger the worst version of yourselves, sometimes what ends up happening is your old self says, well, this is your experience and this will remain your experience. And then what happens is what you're meant to believe and hope in our God, who's just so good, sometimes our belief gets lowered down to the level of our experience. This is something I preached a few weeks ago. Instead, our new self needs to remind our old self who we are in Jesus' name and actually raise our belief and set your belief high on the goodness of God and let your belief raise the level of your experience up to the level of your belief. That's the way it's meant to go in this life, that you're actually meant to be a people of hope and of great faith. You know, most often the problem that I'm faced with, I don't know about you, but the problems that I'm faced with in life, I initially approach out of fear rather than faith. Like, I don't know what it is, but like, even as a pastor, like, I have a hard time believing and trusting in God and his goodness. And it's not like, you know, sometimes it's like when it comes to trusting God, it's like you can get to this point where it's just like, man, I think I've arrived. I think I've got it. Like, I've come to a place in my life where I can believe and trust in the goodness of God. And then it's like all of a sudden something happens. You're like, get ready. And like, you have to prepare yourself, because learning to trust God, it never ends. The lessons never end. Sorry to burst your bubble if you thought you do. You'll never come to a point where it's like, okay, I've arrived. I can just trust God through every circumstance. I wish I could say that's true, but it's just like you've come to a place like, yes, I've defeated this battle, and now I'm good, and I can trust God, and then something worse happens. And now it's like you feel like you're going through this whole school all over again. And it's like the worst version of yourself raises its ugly head and says, no, like, this is going to be your experience from now on. And the new self, the new creation, you has to be like, no, if he was faithful to me then, he's going to be faithful to me now. But this is what we have a hard time believing. Because we have like default mode that loves to just approach things out of fear rather than faith. And it's a battle, and it's a conscious decision to choose faith over fear, even though I've tasted and I've seen God's good. Like, you know, we had at this service and at the previous service in Flemington, if you don't know, we've got two campuses, but the first service, we also had just a ton of people come up for prayer. I've seen healings. I've seen miracles take place. I've seen the unexplained take place. You know, I've seen a little blind boy receive his sight in Jesus' name. Like, I've seen some amazing things, and yet, even though I've tasted and seen that God is good, I still doubt his goodness. My default mode does. Like the old self, who I once was, it still questions the goodness of God. And this default mode, it's the dead part of me that he needs to stay dead. New creation me is often at war with who I used to be. And when presented with the issues of life, I have to remember that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have to remember that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I read this scripture verse a few weeks ago. It's Romans 6, 10 through 11. It says, for the death he died, that's Jesus, for the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must, everyone say must. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You must. This is the way you have to live. Now, if you've ever read Hebrews chapter 11, it's titled By Faith. And I don't know who titled these things. The Bible never actually came with chapters and verses. They were just added later on. But I think that the title By Faith is an appropriate title for Hebrews chapter 11, because it's all about these men and women who by faith did the impossible. The chapter deals with all of these people who overcame the situations and circumstances that they were presented with by faith. And the very first verse is this key to how faith operates, and it was the guiding principle that led these characters through the situations that they face into victory. And this is what it says. This is now faith, and if you've been in church a long time, you've probably heard this before, but now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. And so if you are going through a difficult situation, but you have the means and you have the supply of what you need to actually get through the situation, or you already had the victory, you have no need for faith. Faith is when your victory is still a long way off, but you're assured of that victory. Faith is when you don't have the supply, but you have a conviction and assurance and expectation for the supply. That's faith. And actually, you conduct your life in a way that only expects for the supply, but actually will conduct your life in accordance, knowing that the supply is coming, even though it hasn't even arrived yet. That's faith. And there's all these people who go through all of these incredibly difficult circumstances and situations who, by faith, do the impossible. And this is what it says, verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Imagine God saying to you, okay, you're going to go here. I'm going to give this land to you. Go. And he says, okay. Like, I want to know, like, okay, well, what's the plan other than just leave, right? Like, okay, he doesn't know what he's going to encounter. He doesn't know what he's going to see. All the hypotheticals that could exist, he seems to ignore them all, and he just goes. He does it by faith. You read verse chapter 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Sarah, you're going to have a child. Okay, I'm just going to believe it, even though it's impossible, but with you, all things are possible. I'm just going to believe. Verses 17 through 19, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, who had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall all your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Here's God, and he says, listen, you're gonna be the father of nations to Abraham, and through I'm promising you a son. Isaac arrives, and then God says, I want you to sacrifice him. And he is about to? I don't know if I could do that with any of my children. And he takes his kid and he lays him on this altar, ready to sacrifice his son, until God says, No. I see that you have faith. And it was counted to him as righteousness. You read verse 29, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Amongst all of these men and women, these people, these by faith people, all you see is a belief in what God says to do and the action steps to do it. You know what you never see? You never see them ask the question that I always ask God in my default mode. How? Right? I never, you know, for me, I think the walls of Jericho would be a difficult one. God's like, okay, I want you to, so God, you want me to walk around the city once, every day, in silence, for 6 days. Okay. And then you want me on the 7th day to walk around the walls 7 times, in silence. And then the last time around, then you want me to blow a trumpet and scream as loud as I can. And somehow, these walls are just going to come down. Like, how? How is this going to happen? You know, I would struggle with this. And every time you see someone struggling with their faith in Scripture, it's because they ask the question, how? God, how is the provision going to come through? God, how is the victory going to be achieved? God, how is that relationship going to be restored? How, God? How is this going to happen? And we get so worked up about it. You know, you look at this like when Gideon is called to serve as judge over Israel and defeat the Midianites. The Midianites, they're described as, their army is described as like the locust. There's just so many of them. And the angel of the Lord actually comes to Gideon and says, go. He says, you mighty man of valor, go in this might of yours. And you know what Gideon's response is? It's in Judges 6:15. Please, Lord, how? How can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. That's his question. Excuse me. His question is how? You know, in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah was serving as a priest, and it was the custom of the priesthood to be chosen by lot to enter the temple in order to burn incense to the Lord. The lot falls to Zechariah. Zechariah is in there, and while he's in there, he encounters the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel says to Zechariah, your wife is going to conceive, and she's going to bear a son, and his name is going to be John, and he's going to prepare the way of the Lord. You know what Zechariah's response is? How? And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And because he was operating from default mode, Gabriel removes Zechariah's ability to speak until his son John is born. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night, and I think he really wanted to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, because he says, no one can do the things that you do unless they're from God. And this is what Jesus says to him. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And here's Nicodemus' response. Nicodemus said to him, how? How can a man be born when he's old? Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is it with everyone who's born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus responds again, how? How can these things be? Nicodemus is showing the abundance of his confusion and his lack of faith. Every time you see someone in Scripture ask the question how, it's because they're struggling with their faith. Matthew 14, 16 through 17, but Jesus said, he's talking to his disciples. There are 5,000 men present, and it says not including women and children, so there could have been like 20,000 people that Jesus is about to feed. And here's the disciples, and they're like, you know what? This is a real desolate place. We're exhausted. We're tired and hungry. Let's send them away to go buy some food. And Jesus basically says to them, listen, you don't have to send them away. You feed them. And their response is, with what? We've got a few loaves of bread and some fish. Like, how is that going to be possible? They don't really ask the question how, but I'm throwing it in there because it definitely sounds like a how to me. But when it comes to faith, and leaving default mode behind, old you behind, being consumed with how something will happen, how a victory will occur, how the provision will come, rather than who our God is, it will disrupt, destroy, and disable your faith. You guys with me? Gideon asked how because he was focused on his own strength. Zechariah asks how because he's overly focused on his inability and his wife's inability. Nicodemus asks how because he was leaning way too much on his own understanding. And the disciples ask how because they were coming from a place of their lack rather than God's supply. I just wonder how many big faith, by faith moments have we missed and actually failed to take part in because we were overly focused on how God would do it, rather than who our God is. You with me? And please hear me. I love to have a how. Who here likes to have a how? I like to have a plan. All right? It is not wrong to have a plan. Please have a plan. Okay? If you're going to have goals for your life that you want to achieve, please have a plan. Okay? You want to have a vision for your life? Please have a vision for your life. In fact, it says that people perish without a vision. You need to have a vision, you need to have a goal, and you need to have a plan to get there. Here's the thing about having a goal and a vision, though, in mind, and having a how or a plan. There's a condition to this. You can have your goals, and you can have your vision, and you can even have your plan, but you can't know every step in order to get there. You can't. Because if you knew every step that you needed to take in order to reach your goal, you wouldn't need God. Usually I find, and what you see with God, go, Abraham, I want you to go to this land over here. He doesn't ask how, he just goes. It's not like there's some five action step plan. He just goes by faith, believing in God. I usually find that God usually gives you enough light for the next step you're about to take as you're taking it. That's how it works, right? You can't know everything. You can't know all the plans. Otherwise, you wouldn't need him in your life. And that's why this idea and this understanding of learning to trust God, it never ends. It just keeps going. You're going to keep learning this lesson over and over and over again in just greater degrees and measures. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, the heart of a man plans his way. The Lord directs his steps. And so you can have a plan. Please do. You just need to realize that plans change. How many here realize that most things in life don't go according to plan? Right? Most things in life don't go according to plan. When I was engaged to Claire, I remember we were walking down the road together, going on a walk, and she says to me very seriously, I don't want to be a pastor's wife. And I said to her, I have no plans to be a pastor. None. Right? God changes things. He just does. He just changes things. Okay? You know what? I remember too. I was 15. I was 15. I invited Pastor Phil over, and he's been my pastor since I was 13. I invited Pastor Phil over because I felt called to the ministry at 15. I just didn't know in what capacity. I started like learning guitar and doing some worship at church, but I felt called to the ministry at 15. He gave me some great advice and some great wisdom, we're sitting in my parents' hot tub at the time, and he goes, I bet you I can hold my breath longer than you under the water. And so I was like, all right. He goes, no, because he's very competitive. And he goes, if whoever holds his breath under the water the longest has to buy a $10 present for the winner. I was like, fine. And here I'm thinking, I'm 15, I can hold my breath for a long time. I go under, I probably hold my breath for like a minute, maybe a minute and a half. He goes under the water. He starts holding his breath. It's going on 2 minutes. Then it's three. Then it's four. I give up. I'm done at this point. I'm just in shock and amazed that he's under there. And then he's jerking. I'm trying to like pull him up out of the water. He's under there for 5 minutes. He comes out. I'm applauding. Like, you're my hero, right? And I go out and I buy him some stupid magic trick because he likes magic. And then it's not till like months later he tells me, oh yeah, I was sucking the air out of the jets on the hot tub. I was like, I want my money back. Things don't go according to plan, right? That's the point I'm trying to make. I don't know what that story had anything to do with this, but I was just reminded of it. You know, like, my wife and I, we've got four kids. My son Judson wasn't part of the plan. God changes things, all right? He was a wonderful surprise. Things don't always go according to plan. You know, the struggle or the battle to remain in faith occurs when we hold on to the question how over the character and nature of who our God is. I want you to hold on to the how, hold on to it loosely. Hold on to the who fiercely. Hold on to the how. How is this going to happen? How? Hold on to that loosely. Hold on to him fiercely. And here's my problem with Isaiah 55. Listen to this. He says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price, which is wages. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. This scripture verse is a bit of a paradox for me because he says he gets my attention with free food, okay? Oh, it's free? Yeah, I'm there, right? One of all of our best church events are when there's free food, okay? Like, I know, like, free food, that's, I'm there. I'm down if there's free food. But he says, come, you who have no money. I'm there, okay? I'm with you so far. Come buy and eat. And then it says, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And I'm like, well, what am I, how am I purchasing this? Because God doesn't accept, it seems like he doesn't accept cash, check, or credit card here. Like, what am I buying this with? And He doesn't want me to just come to a diner and eat, drink water and saltine crackers. Like, he wants me to order the good stuff. Milk and wine, although you probably shouldn't combine those two. But milk and wine and rich food, like, this is what he wants me to go all out here. The invitation to eat and drink in Isaiah 55, it sounds great, but there's a catch. You have to purchase this food. This is going to cost you something. It says, delight yourself in rich food. This chapter, though, it's about hearing God. It's about seeking God. The rich food that he's offering is the ability to hear him. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. All of these rich promises that you've been given that never return void, they're for you. They're for you to eat upon. They're for you to be nourished by. That's what this is. Come by and eat. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Forget your ways. Forget your thoughts. How is this going to happen, God? How is the provision going to come through? How is this going to all make sense? How is the victory going to come? I'm stuck in my ways. I'm stuck in my thoughts and the way I think things should go. He says, sell those things to me. I want your ways. Give up your thoughts. No, it says in Proverbs, 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make straight your paths. Sometimes trusting God is about giving up your how. Sometimes trusting God is about giving up your right to know how things are going to work out. It's about giving up your right to understand how you think things should go and just submitting to God. I don't know how things should go. I don't know how this is all going to work out. I have no idea, but I'm going to trust you. God says, I want you to forsake your ways. I want you to forsake those thoughts. Because I think that's what happens sometimes. We get so worked up. God, how is the provision going to come through? How is this relationship going to be restored? How am I actually going to see victory in my life? And we get so consumed by these things, and we just fall into such anxiety and worry and depression and doubt and fear. How, God? How? Especially when all you see is the problem glaring before you. It's not about the how. It's always about the who. This is what the new creation self is all about. The new creation self rejects the how. It accepts the who. It just sees Jesus for who he is. And so God says, I want you to give up your ways. This is what's going to cost you. I want you to give up those thoughts. You know, I think one of my biggest downfalls and one of the most destructive patterns that I see in my generation and the generations underneath me is how much we value our own thoughts. Because you see it, like, it's all over social media. Everyone's thoughts are there. That's why I hate social media nowadays. I mean, that was never really, really good to begin with anyway, but it's just that everyone's thoughts are there. This is how I feel. These are my thoughts. Who cares? I have no cares for your thoughts. It's not about what you think. It's about what he says. It's not about your truths, your pronouns, how you think, how you feel. It's not about your truth and my truth. It's about his truth. That's what this is about. So many people, though, they prize their own thoughts and their own feelings above the word of God. It is the downfall of our society. Isaiah 55, 8-9, God says, my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You want to come by and eat. You want to taste and see that God is good. You want to come and experience rich food. He says, let them give up their ways. Let them give up their thoughts. His ways are higher. His thoughts are greater. Come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. Give up your how and start recognizing who our God is and declare it over every situation. Over the relationships that might be broken, don't worry about how. Declare who our God is. Over the provision that you need, don't go crazy over how. Declare how good our God is. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. That you believe that. You know, don't worry about how the victory will take place. You focus on Jehovah Sabaoth, the captain of the angel armies. He is victorious in battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. We want to declare this over every situation. You can get so worried and so anxious about the how. Hold on to the how loosely. Hold on to him fiercely. Amen? Let's stand.